Your children, if it is grace.
The Apostle Paul is recounting who he was one time, said, I'm a preacher. And then he listed the other things he was.
Know the day of his visitation. I thank the Lord.
This is significant to me that.
But I think that first time someone
Paul sort of said that first when he was
than all the rest. Make some more outstanding impression upon me, no doubt, of the Spirit of God. To the Apostle Paul, many times, walked with him through many pathways, thus they caused him to survive in many troubles of life.
They were all given to
him. You could say it.
And yet he bypasses that over as one of the descriptions of himself. Just starts out by saying, I'm a preacher.
But I don't think ever
he said a whole lot.
Perhaps there was ever a day of visitation. So
but then Paul knew that he would not continue always, so Paul
when the Lord touched him,
ordained
the Lord
brought other
him
men
to his knees. You know, the Lord can bring you to your
one
knees.
Of Paul's charges to
the Lord brings you to his knees.
Timothy in the fourth chapter of 2
the day of that visitation.
Timothy is
upon something
that he should commit these things to faithful men.
Well, there are many things that long.
I don't know how long Elder
Edwards,
Elder
Cox, of the temple, and I told
Elder Lowry and myself,
had finished building the temple.
And we better be sensitive as people, as ministers, and as churches to young men that God gives us that we can commit these things to, but they must be faithful men.
And it is more pressing, of more urgency than anything else was that Lord and thy people stray from this city.
So
and when they're in trouble, if they'll just turn their faces to this city and pray,
my friend, as I talk to you, I don't want you to be concerned about what the people behind you are speaking.
There are some things that belong to our people.
But I want you to make a decision now.
It is the truth. Mostly, it is responsibility.
If I speak to you as God,
obey and live and love in the great framework and
understanding
of the truth of God.
If I speak to you just as somebody else, and not as God, I equally strenuously pray to you, forget it immediately. So the decision must be yours. But I charge thee before God. I am concerned this evening about how this church is going to treat you. I am concerned about how they're going to support you. I'm concerned about how they're going to pray for you. And I'm concerned more about how God's going to support you. I'm concerned more about how you're going to serve him. I pray thee. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ that you do something. So I'd just like to use some of Paul's words. And because it was the most important, Paul's first item of his charge to Timothy was preach your word. Preach your word. How often have I had the experience of listening to a man occupy this sacred place and preaching everything it seemed but the word, telling all kind of old wives' tales in the pulpit and expecting to feed the souls of God's people. And my heart has cried out to them silently, preach the word. Preach the word. The word of God. If you preach the word, and God gives you grace, and you study, you may sometimes need to use. It may sometimes be expedient, as it was with Paul. As it was even with Christ, to use some natural illustration, but preach the word. That is, preach Christ. And preach, but chiefly preach. What Paul meant was preach the word that's in this book. Preach the word that's in this book. Preach the revealed will of God. And And if it sort of knocks a bark off somebody, just let her fly. But preach the word of God. But
when you begin to soften, when you begin to mangle the word of God, so you won't hurt somebody's pride, you won't be God's preacher no more. If you are now, you won't be anymore. I can prove that by the word of God. It's that way now. It's been that way a long time. One time, Jeremiah, 15th chapter, 19th verse, had just done everything he could with the people God sent him to, and he had a little talk with God about it. And God said, if you go back, that is, if I send you back to them again. Now, you know there is a sort of a formable hidden thread in those words. If you go back, if I send you back again. You church people remember this. If I send you back, you must speak as my mouth. And if you're going to be my mouth and speak for me, God told him to separate the precious from the vile. Can you do that, preacher? Separate the precious from the vile. Can you and will you and have you the courage and the strength of God to stand up when people are doing vile things, and by your teaching and by your doctrine and by your practice, separate those things and teach them that they must cling to the vile, to the precious, and leave the vile and separate them in every way? God said, if you don't, you're not speaking for me. I don't know who you're speaking for, but you're not speaking for me. And then when God taught him what he had to do in this case, and I think we as church members reach this place sometimes, and so I lay a little on you as I go along, there may come a time when God will not expect the preacher to go to you, but God will command you to go to him. So Jeremiah said, God told Jeremiah, don't you go to them no more. You let them come to you. And preacher, don't you get so tender-hearted for God's people that you drag the banner of the cross in the dust and mud they stir up sometimes. Stand aloof from it if you stand alone. And if they can't stay on the high road, just wait until they join you somewhere else. Don't you go down to them. You see the point. Preach the word. Be instant in season. I think perhaps that's one of the most hardest parts. One of the most difficult things about being a servant of God is to be instant in season. So many times it has been my experience, and this is why this touches me so, that I have seen a great need to feed God's people at a particular time and for reasons that are known to all of them, and that look like they're just dying to eat of the word of God, and my heart is cold and my mind is dry, but I must be instant in season and I must go in prayer. You must be instant in season. Some people think that means you must drop whatever you're doing and go to their aid. Yes, it means that too. It means, my friend, more than that. It means to try to preach when you consider it a total impossibility. And I might add that it might prove to be easier for you then than at any other time. For it will then be easier for you to lay the whole thing upon the hands of your master and rely upon him. Be instant in season. If it is the warmth of spring when you preach and the promise of The church you preach to is great, and there's young people coming, and the singing's grand and glorious. It'll be easy for you to preach in Plowhope.
But if you're called to serve, and the frost has dropped the leaves, and when hope for the growth of the church to which you preach seems a dismal matter, still, the Word of God says to you, and I charge you in the face of the Almighty, still be instant in season. Don't say, I'm not going to go to that church. It's just a bunch of old folks. There's no need for me to go. But be instant in season. Go, for you don't know the heat of the day they've borne, and you don't know what needs they have. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. And while you're being instant, reprove. Don't be afraid to reprove. Oh, that our people had been more deeply reproved in the days gone by, our churches would not now be quite so empty. Had we but been reproved more often, more deeply. But don't just reprove something or condemn something because you don't like it, preacher, but because God disallows it, and then reprove and rebuke with all authority. For if you ever pastor a church, if you're the kind of minister that God calls to pastor, God put some power in your hands. God put some power in your hands. And when it comes time for you to rebuke someone for something of a very serious and public sort of nature, let me just drop this to you. Don't you forget it. Don't you take them out under a pine tree somewhere, talk to them where nobody can hear it. God didn't tell you to hide in the corner when you reprove his children. But God said reprove and rebuke people, his people in the kingdom of God, before others, that they see my cure, lest they fall into the same condemnation. Not into your condemnation, but lest they have the word of God publicly brought against them. So to their shame, so to the hurt of their heart, but to the healing of our souls. Rebuke, reprove, with all longsuffering. Now, a few words about your perhaps greatest task. For the Lord said that you needed to reprove. The Lord said by Paul, you needed to be instant in and out of season. The Lord said by Paul, rebuke, reprove, with all longsuffering and authority. But the Lord also said and gave us your greatest task. In the simple pastoral language of the Word of God, he said, feed my sheep. Withhold no vision, withhold no truth. Withhold no promise that God may have blessed you to glean from the pages of his holy word. Feed my sheep. Feed them with food that's convenient for them. If they're discouraged, encourage them. If their vision is dim, point them to the vision that reaches beyond the stars. If they're weak, strengthen them in the might and power of God. Feed their souls. But feed them with food that is convenient. For the wise man said centuries ago that he prayed just for three things. He said, I prayed that God wouldn't let me be rich and forget about him. And sometimes you may need to talk to your people about being rich and forgetting about God. And then he said, I prayed that God would not let me become so hungry and so weak and so down and out that I would steal from others to feed myself. He wasn't talking about common food now. He's talking about that God would not shut me off from seeing the principles of his holiness, so much so that I'd reach for that kind of holiness that's propagated by human hands and feed upon it. But he said, I just pray for this, that
that God will feed me with food that's convenient. And so if your people become proud, feed them with a little bit of the food of Christ that talks about the humility, even of Jesus. And if they reach a point, and this hurts me so much when I think about how God's people get sometimes, it's a sure thing to me, folks. God's been so good to us, and sometimes we reach the point where we think he's just going to quit being good to us, and we just almost give up. If you've ever been a farmer, you know you can take a little calf, or a grown calf for that matter, and let them get turned over in a little ditch just where they can't get up, and they may not be hurting at all, but you go up and you look like they're dead, and they'll just even quit trying to get up. And you get them up in 15 minutes, they're going on about their business like nothing happened to them. God's people sometimes let Satan take advantage of them. And it's like that they don't realize of the water that they have drank and the power that they have to lay hold upon. But I want you, when your people get this way, I would like for you to preach a word to refer them as a man of God to the power of God. I leave you with this thought. For this is to be fed. Feed them with food that's convenient. Now I'll say one, two more words after it, but this. Job, when he'd lost everything he had. See, I'm talking about people reaching the point where they think God gave them a bad deal. Now, preacher, God didn't give none of your folks a bad deal. Now, you may give them a bad deal. I hope you don't. They may give you a bad deal. But God didn't give any of you a bad deal. Never has and never will. And you know, if Job, with all of his trials and troubles and deceitfulness of life that came upon him, if he could stand and hear his servants walk in and inform him that all of his cattle is gone, all his camels, and then the very last thing, that even all of your children have been destroyed, and old Job didn't think God give him a bad deal, but he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." Keep them above that. Don't let them get down where they think God give them a bad deal. Now study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now let me say a little about that. Don't study so God will know you approved. That ain't who he wants you to show it to. Study to show thyself approved, but to show thyself approved unto whom? Why, my friend, unto the people to whom you preach. For God knows whether you're approved or not. And approved as what? Approved as a minister of God that has the capabilities and the intention and the willingness to take the power of God in his hand and disperse it to the people unselfishly and unwaveringly. Let them know you're just not some other guy coming by. When you preach and they listen to you, it is my opinion that when people listen to a man preach, if they're going to derive any benefit from it spiritually, they must consciously or unconsciously make a decision when they hear a man preach, and they must decide, this is this man talking just like some ever ordinary everyday person, or is he talking in the place of God? Is he speaking for the mouth of God? And you must study to show yourself approved as a man that speaks as a mouth of God. And God pity those with ears to hear that hear and do not heed if you speak that way. And God bless them if when you speak that way they heed it. Study to show thyself approved. But in all your study, remember tenderness. In all your labors, labor with long suffering. And in all of your dealings, deal first by prayer with God. Go first to Him. Go to him before you go to deacons. Go to him before you go to your wife. Go to him before you go to your church. First take every care to him. Even as a priest of old, before he ever offered an offering, he offered one for himself. And then there will be times, and I'll close with just this thought sort of for him. I didn't say much to his wife, because I never did read where a wife was in ordination. I'm not being critical. I just don't know what to say to her, because the Bible didn't tell me to say nothing to her. I can say this just on my own, not and be like Paul was. The Bible commands me not, but yet I say. But not by commandment do I say it, but yet I say. It's your biggest difficulty. And I don't know you. You may be a blabbermouth, and you may not be. But your biggest difficulty, my little sister, is going to be the things you hear people say about your husband, kind of one-sided. And I urge you to bury it in your heart. Covered up with the humbleness of the spirit and never let it reach his ears, because he'll have enough without you being the funnel through which it pours on him. And that's all that I say, and yet I say it not by commandment. But unto you I say that there'll be times when you'll be like God's people was, when they just thought God left them all alone. No prophet come down. You know, when they had meeting back in them days, they had hearts that they played on in the law service. And they were so dismal and so dejected. They were just so afraid that God had just left them all alone forever. But the Bible accounts in solemn words that they had hanged their heart upon the willow tree. I hope that your heart will seldom be found upon the willow tree, that your spirit shall be warm and bold, but that if you have to hang your harp as it were upon the willow tree, that you shall retreat to the closet of prayer, for God alone can give you again the warmth and the stamina, the courage, and the grace to preach his word. May the good Lord keep you as his servant, and may you keep him as your master, for he'll be the best taskmaster you ever had. He will call upon you to go places you've never been, to bury people you've never seen, to send them away with the thought in the minds of all present that there lies somebody that man of God talked about that loved and knew God. He shall ask you of you many things, but he shall provide for your going, for your coming. And it shall not be easy, and yet it shall be glorious. It shall be difficult only in the tenderness that it requires at your hand. May God grant you every necessary grace to meet those requirements in my prayer. God bless you.